razor, take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
This Week in Radical History, for the week starting November 3rd. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer. Radical info can be found at the Daily Bleed website. And some audio for this week's show was borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This Week in Radical History for November 13th, 1755, the Penobscot Indians in Maine are declared to be enemies and rebels and traitors, and bounties are offered up to colonists for both male and female scalps. Also November 3rd, 1883, Supreme Court declares Native Americans are aliens in the United States lands. Also on this date in 1903 in Colombia, in the province of Panama, with the secret backing of President Roosevelt and the new Panama Canal Company, Panama secedes. It is hurriedly recognized by the United States government within 3 days, declaring that the patron of Panama is the United States of America. And surprise, grants permanent and perpetual lease to its now new patron, United States, all future Panama Canal use. Roosevelt sends in the United States Marines to force Colombia off their new lands. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Crystal Graham. On this day, November 3rd, in 1957, a dog named Laika became the first living being sent into space while aboard the Soviet Sputnik 2. Laika's preparation for 7 days of space in a tiny cabin took a great toll on her body. She was kept in progressively smaller cages for long periods of time, which deteriorated her health. The intense simulations also doubled her pulse and skyrocketed her blood pressure. The public was told decades later that Laika, who was a stray mixed hunting breed, died from stress and overheating hours after the launch. At the time, some scientists believed flights by non-human animals were necessary before human missions. But the Sputnik 2 mission and the U.S. use of chimpanzees for space exploration sparked a global debate about the mistreatment of animals and animal testing in the name of science. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you to never let the past slip away.
This Week in Radical History for November 4th, 1796. America signs the treaty with Tripoli, which includes the following statement, quote, "The government of the United States is not, in any sense, founded on Christian religion," unquote. There you go, right-wing nut jobs. Also, November 4th, 1933, 3,000 farmers demonstrate in Neillsville, Wisconsin. This action to free 3 jailed leaders in the milk strike. During the Depression, desperate farmers attempt to raise ruinous low milk prices set by the large dairy plants. Their preferred tactic was to halt milk production. Led by the Wisconsin Milk Pool, they gathered on roads leading into Wisconsin cities and dumped tons of fresh milk into the sewers. Violence erupts across the state, and a striker on the road near Madison is shot to death. To break the strike, the governor calls out the National Guard. Also in the state in 1977, CIA Director Helms pleads no contest to lying to the United States Senate about his and the U.S. administration's involvement in Chile.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Also on the state in 1984, Nicaragua, the nation holds its first free elections in 56 years. Sandinistas win by 63%. U.S. has a heart attack. Also on the state in 1988, prisoner B.C. Kimberlin is placed in solitary confinement until after the U.S. presidential elections for claiming that he sold marijuana to right-wing darling and vice president candidate Dan Quayle.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Okay, this is just too funny, and truth is often stranger than fiction. In 1993, right-wing blowhard Rush Limbaugh's book, See, I Told You So, goes on sale. In it, it states, if people are doing drugs, they ought to be accused, they ought to be convicted, they ought to be sent up. Well, in 2003, he was caught in the police sting doing drugs. After that conviction in 2006, he'd be found with having possession of someone else's Viagra while returning from Haiti, a notorious sex tourism spot for the rich and famous. And Rush Limbaugh would say on his radio show about the trip, I had a great time in the Dominican Republic. I wish I could tell you about it. Of course, he's never sent up, as his book suggests, to do to all drug users.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Popularized by the movie V on this date in 1605 in England, the gunpowder plot to blow up the English Parliament was detected while leader Guy Fawkes was captured.
I remember how the meaning of words began to change. How unfamiliar words like collateral and rendition became frightening. While things like Northfire and the Articles of Allegiance became powerful. I remember how different it became dangerous. I still don't understand it. Why they hate us so much.
I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Also November 5th, 1855, Eugene Dibbs, labor activist, socialist politician, lives. His belief in the people was very genuine, and his vision of socialism, quite unlike the state machine pictured in Marx's Communist Manifesto, is quoted saying, hearing his views, I cannot help exclaim, "Why, Mr. Dibbs, you're an anarchist." "Not Mr., but comrade," he corrected me. "Wouldn't you call me that?" clasping my hand warmly. He assured me he felt very close to the anarchists, that anarchism was the goal to strive for, and that all socialists should also be anarchists. Socialism to him was the only stepping stone to the ultimate ideal. So I guess that makes Obama halfway to being an anarchist, huh? Well, I wouldn't hold my breath. Also on November 5th, 1928 in Colombia, 5,000 banana workers strike against United Fruit Company owned by United States owners. 1,000 people would be killed to protect corporate profits. Also November 5th, 1969, the Chicago 8 became the Chicago 7 when the mistrial was declared in the case of Bobby Sale and a new separate trial was ordered. After repeatedly asserting that his right to have an attorney of his own choosing or defend himself, Sale had been bound and gagged in the courtroom. He is sentenced to 4 years for contempt of court. The sentence is later reversed. Sale was never convicted of any connection with that week's charges from the Chicago DNC protests. Not learning from past mistakes, the government is now trying to prosecute under terrorism charges the RNC 8, 8 Minneapolis activists. Their terrorism charges is related to the organizing against the RNC in St. Paul last month. Deja vu all over again. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Ayanna Hayes. On this day, November 7, 1837, white abolitionist Elijah P. Lovejoy was shot and killed by a mob of pro-slavery partisans in Alton, Illinois, where he was the editor of abolitionist newspaper called the Alton Observer. Pro-slavery groups in Illinois had previously destroyed three of Lovejoy's printing press by violently seizing them and throwing them into the river. When word got around that a new printing press was to be delivered, a mob of people surrounded the printing warehouse in an attempt to burn it down. Lovejoy was killed with a shotgun as he attempted to stop the pro-slavery mob from entering the building. I guess the fight for independent media in America has been going on for a long time. Yeah, I said it. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Ayanna Hayes, reminding you, never let your past slip away.
Also November 6, 1887, Eugene Potier, poet and revolutionary, dies. Participant in the Revolution of 1848 and elected to the Paris Commune. Condemned to death for his activities, Potier fled to England and then the United States, later returned to France, where he continued writing poetry. He's best known today for the writing of the Internationale, which was put to music in 1888. The song, adapted by workers worldwide, is anarchistic to its core. Also on this date, November 6, in 2006, the Daily Bleed website whose data I like to use for this show, had compiled databases to create this great service to all us radicals. Thank you to the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website, and happy anniversary. This week in radical history for November 7, 1919, Palmer's reign of terror begins as 3,000 anarchists are imprisoned without bail at Ellis Island. You know where the Statue of Liberty stands nearby? Also November 7, 1936, the International Brigades, including Lincoln Brigade, sees its first action of fighting the fascists in Spain. Lastly, for November 7, 1959, the Taft-Hartley Act is invoked by the Supreme Court to break a steel strike. This act put major restrictions on labor ability to organize, the government effectively siding with and giving a lot of power to industrialists. People, the time has
come. This is your radio news reporter, Fashina Jones. On this day, November 8th, in 1800, a fire swept through the United States War Office, destroying the papers, records, and books that were stored there. Some government officials immediately suspected arson and possible political cover-up. America's complete military history prior to the 1800s was lost in the fire. Between 1784 and 1800, the War Department was responsible for veteran affairs, naval affairs, militia and army matters, as well as Indian affairs. The Secretary of War was allowed to spend 70% of the federal budget. The War Department was in overall control of internal security and diplomacy. I wonder what they could have possibly been trying to hide. Sounds a little shady to me. Yeah, I said it. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Fashina Jones, reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also November 8th, 1868, Powder River Country, including the Black Hills, is given to Lakota, quote, forever, unquote, by U.S. treaty. Within a decade, white settlers, business interests, and army would seize the entire region.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Also on that date in 1897, Dorothy Day is born. An American journalist turned anarchist, social activist, and ultimately a weird devotee of Catholicism. She became well known for her social justice campaigns, including defense of the poor, forsaken, hungry, and homeless. Day, founder of the Catholic Worker Movement in 1933, espoused nonviolence and hospitality for the impoverished and the downtrodden. Though the Catholic Church will never make her a saint, we'll gladly recognize her as such. On this date in 1974 in a federal court, charges are dropped against the 8 Ohio National Guardsmen for killing the 4 anti-war protesters at Kent State University. It was there on May 4, 1970, brave National Guards troops, called in to suppress student rioting and protest the Vietnam War, killed the 4 Kent State students and injured 9 when they fired into the crowd with 60 rounds. The guardsmen literally appeared to have gotten away with murder. Previously undisclosed FBI files revealed that 1. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover felt the victims deserved to be shot. 2. Hoover eagerly followed Nixon's instructions to knock down, that is, to discredit, essentially accurate news reports of the shooting, and 3, that Hoover relayed the order and his top aides boasted that we scotched those accurate news reports.
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for dead in Ohio. Gotta get down to it, soldiers are cutting us down. Should have been done.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration for this piece came from the Slingshot Organizer. Google the Slingshot Collective for more info. Audio for this week's show was borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York. And radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Google the Daily Bleed for more information. And happy birthday, Daily Bleed. So until next week's This Week in Radical History, I am always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
Gotta get down to it. Soldiers are cutting us down. Should have been done long ago. What if you knew her and found her dead on the ground? How could you run when you know?
Rogers and Nixon's coming.